All right, everybody, welcome back to the Dylan Tomelli podcast. And I have a very, very special guest today. This one is quite personal to me, and I'm going to get into why, but this is Dr. Stephen McConnell, an expert on the heart and cholesterol. Welcome, Dr. Stephen.
Good afternoon, wherever you are. I assume it's afternoon.
All right, guys. So I want to, before I start throwing some questions at Dr. Stephen, I'm going to give you a quick recap of how I met Dr. and why he is so important to me and to all of you. So I've spoken about this in a few of my podcasts, but I came to, by the grace of God, find out that I had some plaque in my arteries, and I found out quite young here at 41. And nobody could figure out why that I had this plaque, because obviously my exercise, my diet, everything is absolutely couldn't be more strict. So I, through my own research, went and tested my LP little A, which we're going to talk about now. My LP little A is off the chart. It's in the 300 range. And so I was blessed enough to meet Dr. Stephen, who is an expert on LP little A. And so I want to start with an education out there to everybody on LP little A and then other factors to look at. And I can't think of anybody better to talk about as even Dr. Stephen. So, Doctor, could you just start by kind of telling us what LP little A even is and why it's so important?
Okay, I'll take it in levels. Most people have some perception of cholesterol. The problem is even the doctors can't tell you what LDL is, the bad cholesterol. It's a horrible, unreliable marker trying to tell you where all the bad cholesterol is. But within that, it's a sandwich. Well, what you're really trying to measure with it, it's not even reliably measuring it, is the cholesterol inside a particle. You usually have a model to show you, but imagine a basketball, right? And it's got triglycerides and cholesterol in it, and the shell is made out of protein so it can move through the bloodstream, which is mostly water. It's not globules of fat. It's a sphere. It's a delivery vehicle. And in a healthy person, you need it because it supplies cholesterol to tissues that can't synthesize enough on their own. Most of your cholesterol is made in the liver. So it goes out in the body and distributes it. In modern man, we've kind of perverted the process by our lifestyle, diet, and, of course, genetics. And that's a big one. If you're unfortunate enough to have too many of those particles, particularly of certain types, like small, dense ones, if I throw a ping pong ball at a plate glass window and I've got a ball bearing the same diameter, I don't need to ask you twice what's going to happen. One's going to bounce because it has no density. Ping pong. That's a big LDL particle.
Right.
The one that's the same diameter, even smaller, that's very dense, especially the small, dense, it'll go right through the plate glass window. Well, that's kind of what's going on the wall of your artery. Well, there's subspecies. There's actually 30 varieties, and you can dig deeper in that. There's actually 60 when you include the good cholesterol particles. And it's interesting, for every bad particle, on average, there's 30 good particles. They're way smaller. They can go into a plaque and pull out a lot of garbage, neutralize inflammation, oxidation, actually keep their macrophages, which are white blood cells. They're eaters. They eat the cholesterol and they get stuck in the plaque. Well, niacin, and you'll hear me say that a lot, probably 90% of my conversations about niacin, will retrain your good cholesterol particles to go in the plaque and do that. Plus, they kind of counteract the bad ones. Now, you got the regular LDL. I'm going to stop calling it LDL. The basketball. And it's microscopic, but it's a sphere. Imagine, I don't watch wrestling, but the World Wrestling Federation belt. Okay. It's big. It covers half the guy's gut, right?
Right.
Well, that very belt would just wrap around a basketball rather neatly. That's exactly what APOB looks like.
Got it.
It's a band of protein that the liver recognizes, and it sends out receptors. They're kind of like my elbow to my fingertips, only with a baseball glove, a baseball mitt, pitcher's mitt. Well, if you throw anything at the mitt that's too small, they can't pull them out of the bloodstream. Small, dense ones are what you get when your blood sugar's out of whack. And you don't have to be diabetic. You can have mild insulin resistance, which is 90% of the adults in the United States. You're going to have small dense. Then there's the next level. The most dangerous biomarker I looked on the panel. People inherit, and as Dylan found out, unfortunately, the best diet, lifestyle, exercise will not do anything to it. There's no foods that modulate it. And the scary part is I argue with famous cardiologists, and I get no pleasure when I win. And there's a guy at Cleveland Clinic that's not well-liked, and he argued with me. It turned out I was right. When you put somebody on a statin, it goes up. Well, yeah, the statin's lowering the other bad particles, but for every bad particle, you have X, a certain amount of risk. It's 6.6X for one LP little A particle. It's an ApoB particle with a tail. It's almost like a devil's tail. The tail's what makes it unique. It won't get cleared through the normal pathways. There's about five pathways it can be removed by, but you have to treat it directly, and it's driven by a gene. There's actually a handful of genes that drive it, but there's a primary gene that makes a really small, dense LP little A's. They're called LMW, low molecular weight. The high molecular weight, you might have some. I rarely see a person, might be in the yellow, just barely elevated, but it's because they're so large that the liver can't actually eject them into the bloodstream. So they're retained in the liver cell and then recycle, absorb. So there's no harm done. But it's the small ones, low molecular weight, you got to watch out for. And it's all over the map. It's a statistician's nightmare. And that's why I can't believe these smart guys publish medical literature and make all the wrong statements out about Lp(a). But if the patient hasn't heard about it, guess what? The doctor might have heard about it, but he's not actually using it, measuring it.
And would you say that the Lp(a) is like one of the most, if not the most important cholesterol marker to check?
Hands down.
Okay. And
by a factor of almost 7.
That's so what I thought.
However many of those particles you have, multiply it by 7 and compare it to the regular ApoB. Well, the argument is, well, there's no way to lower it, which is crazy, because it's been in the guidelines up until they waged a smear campaign on niacin. I don't know what the proportion of greed to ignorance there was. I would vote that the greed was 60% and the ignorance was 40%, but it might be the other way around. Who cares? They published these two papers where they used too low of a dose. They gave it fasting, never take it outside of a meal. They suppressed the hot flash. You don't have to do that. 2 weeks in, most people don't have a hot flash. As long as they're like Dylan, you know, they have discipline, they remember to take it every day. 12 hours in between doses, you might have a hot flash. We'll get to that. But as long as you stick with it, I tell people it's like ham and eggs. One of those animals made a commitment, and the other one made a contribution.
Right. Let me ask you this before, because I want to talk about the treatment of it, but I want to talk more about
Particles
with it. So my first thing is, and I want to make sure we put this out there. Don't you agree that if you have any kind of family history of a parent or somebody having a heart attack early, this is something you should check rather early in your life so you know ahead of time? Because yeah, I wish that I would have checked this in my teens or before, you know. Yeah.
For 3 or 4 years now, I remember the statements started coming out. Everyone should get it measured once in their lifetime. Because a perfect example is my wife. She was adopted. No reference point for family history. I actually was very depressed when I realized she had one of the highest Lp(a)s I'd ever seen. Because yeah, in the old days, we had to do something with what they call advanced testing. It's not advanced anymore. Every damn lab runs it. I work with a couple labs that it's super cheap. They've got the right equipment and
yes,
technology to give you an accurate measurement. It comes in two flavors, milligrams, little m, little g, / little d, big L. That means
right,
milligrams per deciliter. Or the more precise and reliable measurement is the actual moles. How many moles, which is
how many moles.
Yeah. And
yeah,
NMOL / L, nanomoles per liter.
Right.
Either one's good, though. So if it's a milligrams per deciliter, anything greater than 30, you got a problem. And I've seen milligrams per deciliter in the 300s. The nanomoles is roughly, you can't actually convert it, but it's roughly 2.4. So the break point for risk starting to kick in with the nanomoles is around 70 or 75. I see some people that are suspicious that are right around that number. But what you more often than not see is little or none, really high. And there's
right.
a fair number of people in the middle. But the worst thing you can do, and we know this now, and I'll argue with anybody because most of them never read the literature. I commit myself to 100 reprints a week and have a little Asperger's, if you couldn't already tell. You know, I'm a gold-plated nerd. but it was a gift from God because I'm awkward at a cocktail party socially, but when I read medical literature, it's fun. I remember everything. I can remember what page it was on, where the diagram was. And that's a weapon because over the last 20 years, I've committed myself to learning about this stuff. Niacin is a miracle drug. Don't let anybody talk you out of it, especially a doctor, because things you don't know. And most of the masters of using it retired or dead. And I was lucky enough, Dr. Castelli is very famous, helped me. And Dr. Guyton and a bunch of heavy hitters, they all take niacin. Castelli's sharpest attack, and he's in his early 90s. These guys don't take a half a gram. They take 3-4 grams a day.
Well, it's I want to hold off on that yet. I want to, I know you want to talk about it, but I want to separate that. Why do you think, because when I went to the Mayo Clinic, and I told you this yesterday when we were talking, they attempted to tell me that there was not enough information on Lp(a), and I'm sitting there going, well, I have plenty of information on it, and you're the Mayo Clinic, and you're telling me this. Why is it the doctors are either uneducated or hesitant to talk about it?
It's a simple answer. You can say it's whether they read anything or not, or they're stupid. That's not really it. They're comfortable knowing this. Anything outside of that, they don't. That's epistemology. Epistemology is you know what you know. That's the rough translation. Castelli taught me that word. I didn't even know it again. But what it is when you talk to cardiologists, they have a very narrow understanding of pharmacology. They think they're masters, but they're only good with the stuff you give a heart attack patient or somebody got a stent. Because if they don't treat coagulation, the stent's going to clot off and kill you. And nobody would tell you that there's no benefit to a stent if you have stable disease. Same outcomes as medical management alone. You add the stent, and there's no difference. The only thing you see is the angina goes away briefly because they held the hole. And a friend of mine who used to do procedures, cardiologist, he's now, like me, he's a lipid specialist. He got in front of a room full of cardiologists and said, it's not the hole, stupid. It's the donut, the wall. If you treat the wall, the hole will stay open. Holding it open with a little wire mesh is not going to save their life. Anyway, Lp(a) is responsible for 40% of aortic valve disease. It accelerates calcifications, Dylan knows this, and in any artery. I have an optometrist who should have got to me 15 years ago, but he's like Dylan. He takes good care of himself, so his body habitus is in good shape, but he hasn't had a heart attack yet. He's 62. And he's already up to about 4 grams of niacin. But he had a whole bunch of other stuff. He was like a genetic catch-all. You know? And I was a little overwhelmed when I met him, but I'm always kind of gung-ho. I can fix this. I can at least help them. And I did. But it's really strange in that when you have a blood clot and you need it to heal a cut, a wound, or you have surgery, but you don't want to go overboard. If you're making clots too readily and they don't resolve quickly, it could kill you. It could cause a stroke or a heart attack. A brain attack is a stroke. It's the same disease. And the tail is the key to that. Plasminogen is what your body makes to kick out in the bloodstream and keep these clots from getting out of hand. It dissolves. Well, the tail on that particle is 90% identical to plasminogen. So what happens? It grabs all the plasminogen and neutralizes it. Now you've got a thrombosis, a clotting disorder, by definition. And because it's not retrieved by those catcher's mitts, as readily as a regular ApoB. It's particularly dangerous. And now they know that one LP little a particle is 6.6. I use 7 as an easy to remember number. Times more dangerous than all the other bad particles.
Right.
And it, you know, they're screwing around. They're skirting with death, and some of them are going to have a smart lawyer come after them, because if you put them on a high dose statin, that's what all the cardiologists say. They're not accounting for the fact that it increases the LP little a. Well, they love to quote it's 4 to 6%. That's BS. I've seen it go up 200 nanomoles. That's a lot. You know, that's like 80 milligrams per deciliter. Well, that's more than double the break point for danger. And Dr. Zemeckis, and you may want to look him up, it's a weird last name, T-S-I-M-I-C-K-A-S. His first name is Sotirios, which is also hard to spell. He has his own line of Greek ultra good oxidant, antioxidant olive oil. He's a very cool guy. His nickname is Sam, because most people don't know how to pronounce his first name. He's the expert. Look him up. Go to Google.
I've got him right here. Sotirios Zemeckis.
Yeah. He is way cool. He's kind enough to kind of like befriend me. He answers my emails. I haven't had him on the phone yet, but he promised me he would. If you're listening, Sam, you owe me a conversation. Everything I currently use with LP little a came from him, because he does more research in a month than most people do in 10 years. And he's not one of these opinionated idiots. He's got an opinion, but it's based on reality. He's been treating LP little a for over 30 years. He has people that had horrible level of disease, and I forget if they had a heart attack or not, but he put them on niacin, and they're still alive 30 years later. And they're doing well. No angina, no symptoms. But it's because he took the problem and lowered it. Now, it's rare to get it down 90%. I've seen it go down 88%. But you don't know until you start treating them. So you've got to get it measured. And I recommend APOB, probably the small, dense LDL. And they all have different price tags. But there are labs that don't require a doctor to sign the orders. Remember this part. This is also as important as anything I'm telling you. Most doctors won't even bother to order. They'll talk you out of it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be pushed around. Screw that. There's a company called Direct Labs, Direct Laboratory Services. They collect your blood. They bill you. You have to pay for it, but it's half the cost of a one-month car payment. Is your life worth $242? Order it for crying out. And then 5 days later, after you draw your blood, you've got it. And that includes the blood draw. And they give you several locations based on your zip code. And you pick the one and go, oh, I'm going to go to State Street. That's the closest one. Yep. You're done. They collect the fee.
Quest does it. LabCorp does it. But I ordered, and for people listening, it's a comprehensive cholesterol panel that tests everything. You have to get a comprehensive panel. Not just LDL, HDL, and triglycerides. That is the most basic. And it's like getting an EKG on your heart and not getting the calcium score and the things that really matter.
Right.
You have to go really get these tests done, the real ones.
Total cholesterol is almost worthless because that includes HDL. And even though I don't have a lot of respect for cholesterol measures anymore, if your HDL is like mine's 90 on niacin, cool.
Pretty damn good,
Well, if my total cholesterol is 200, the bad guys are only 110. Besides, I have no idea about the particle on anything.
You're right. But
exactly. I like the doctors, when they start doing ApoB and LPA, order the LDL, and you realize how full of crap it is. Because it's all over the map, and it never correlates. The LPA and the ApoB, when they're red, it's red. When the LDL says it's green, you never know if that's meaningful. So don't even bother with it. But it's nice to have it there on the panel, because when the ApoB comes down, it drags down the LDL with it. Now, if you put somebody on a statin and drive the L down, you're only treating what's in the particle. You're not treating the particle. Right. Niacin takes care of the whole job because it makes more of these, and it stops the synthesis in the liver, blunts it like 20-30%. Plus, it converts the small dents to bigger ones, and they're retrieved more quickly. It's like the perfect drug. It's still the only medication for cholesterol that favorably moves in the right direction every known particle. Good ones go up, bad ones go down. Triglycerides drop within 12 hours. And that's one of the main problems with the size and the constituents on the particle, because they can oxidize. The phospholipids are kind of little dots on the sphere. If those are oxidized, that's starting aortic valve disease. Well, most of that oxidized phospholipids is on Lp(a) particles. It's a triple, quadruple threat. So get it measured. If you're going to bother to do that, you might as well get the ApoB. Get the small dents.
Yes.
The small dents is the most sensitive marker to tell me your blood sugar is not normal. And have an at-home way to check that. You borrow somebody who checks their glucose all the time. Get a cheap one. You can buy them at a drugstore. Stick your finger an hour after a meal. And don't eat something healthy like Dylan does every day. Eat some garbage, trans fats, some carbs. You want to provoke your body to react. So the pancreas goes into high gear, shoots up insulin. Your glucose goes up in 60 minutes. Set the timer when you start to eat. Look at that number. If you're under 140, you're fine. If you're close to 200, you're nearly diabetic. 155 is kind of the middle. That's moderate. I love that because a small dentist told me I'm going to find it, and it's there every time.
Right.
It's mild. And some people lost 50, maybe 75 pounds. They're now vegan or eating healthy keto. But 10 years later, they're still insulin resistant. Why? I tell them, your liver, your pancreas, and your gut, your incretin system that control that, they're angry at you because for 40 years you weren't behaving. So they have a memory, and that doesn't go away quickly. But the trick is to get rid of the small dents, and niacin and fish oil are really good for that. And there are medications that manage the glucose, and they do it directly. But when I see somebody that really needs the kitchen sink, do all three. You don't have to take metformin unless you can tolerate it. If you can't tolerate it, the next tier of drugs are more expensive. There might be a stiff copay, and your insurance is going to dance your doctor around till doomsday. But all you got to do is go to Amazon, and I'll have Dylan collect my little slide deck. It's got all the natural stuff I recommend.
Yeah.
What the dose range is, and what that would look like as a price. They're all like 3 to 5 cents a day. Niacin's so, 5 cents a gram.
So before we get into treatment of Lp(a), I want to talk to you first about statins in general. So I want to talk to you about two things. I want to talk to you about why statins are so often prescribed and what are the problems with them and why is it not the end-all, cure-all for everything.
The paradigm we live in. For those old enough to remember the Watergate trials, I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I'm old. That was a moment. He actually, on those very same tapes, was talking to these guys from the healthcare industry. And these are greedy people, capitalists. They said, we need to take all the power away from the doctor. The insurance companies need to control the money. Well, yeah, they sure do. They hang on to most of it, and they don't let the doctor do anything useful. Statins are already bought in mass by the insurance companies. They get them at an incredible discount. And they always refer to guidelines or evidence-based medicine, which is insane because niacin was the first one to prove it worked. And it was an unbiased government study, and it knocked it out of the ballpark. But the statins are, you don't have to have any skill. You get out the script pad, write it. If they complain about muscle aches, you intimidate them to keep taking it. What's that all about? And they don't do that much. 20 to 25% relative risk reduction. Well, the guys with the placebo had a 20% event rate across the length of a trial, and we knocked it down 5 points. That's a quarter of 20. It's 25%. It's still only right. 5 actual points. Niacin has one of the lowest number needed to treat. That is so dirt cheap, it's crazy not to try to take it. But I don't recommend it unless you have me involved or somebody that has that level of experience because it's very tricky the first couple of weeks. And I'll walk you through it. Dylan has the tip sheet. It's still a good idea to talk to me because I like to get people motivated.
Well, we'll go through that, but I want to kind of focus on the the problem first, and then we'll go into a whole protocol on the.
The damage to the mitochondria, mainly in skeletal muscles. So that's what the patient feels. My arms ache, my thighs, but, you know, barely walk or pain. Well, a quick fix is to take 5,000 IU of vitamin D, stop the statin for a couple of weeks, because oils take a while to saturate your body. But about 2 weeks at that dose, it should get your vitamin D well above 40. What they found was 93% of the people that had myalgia, muscle ache, it's completely reversible with vitamin D. And that's cheaper than coenzyme Q10. It's got much better clinical studies, and you probably need the vitamin D. And so you check it. It's under 40. You need to get it up. I think it should be closer to 70, but at least 40. Then it'll go away. But this, all they do is lower cholesterol. So
right.
They only get the particles down about 20, maybe 30%. And that's not enough in a high-risk patient. And then what happens is they start to increase PCSK9. Well, that's what destroys the receptors. So now you're lowering the cholesterol per particle. You're leaving around the small, dense ones and only removing the far less dangerous ones, the big ones. That's crazy.
Did they stabilize plaque? Did statin stabilize plaque?
But nothing beats niacin, because back in the 90s, even before the statins, they saw, you know, lesions are sitting there at the bottom of that, you know, the interior of the blood vessel. They were shrinking. And the thickness of the blood vessel tells you how far along the disease is. They could call it arterial age, the age of your arteries. Well, that was thinning down. And they determined that the combination therapy was responsible. So the FDA said niacin, when used with cholestipol, it's an old cholesterol, produced regression in lesions, you know, plaque. That's cool. Now, there's all kinds of plaque. 70% of the heart attacks and strokes are from tiny plaque, about 1 or 2 millimeters. They're very full of inflammation. They're very inflamed. The cap is very thin. It's like when you're a kid and you broke your first blister because you wouldn't leave it alone, and then the water leaked out. That's a bad thing in the artery. Because it's cholesterol that leaks out. The body says, oh, I have an injury. I need to throw clotting factors at it. And we're talking a moving stream. It's constantly narrowing, and the thrombus, the clot, gets bigger. Eventually, it's going to lodge somewhere. And it'll happen more than once, and one of those times, just circumstance, odds are one of them is going to take out part of your brain or your heart. And that's the problem. It's not blockages. That's bullshit. That's an excuse to bill insurance so the hospital and cardiology can make money. And they know this. And they always put a little fear into the referring doctor. And everyone, well, there's a liability if you don't put the stent in. But what if I treat the patient aggressively and the angina goes away? We did this 20 years ago. But everybody on niacin and fish oil, dirt cheap. All the angina patients called up and they were freaking out because they hadn't had angina in 2 or 3 weeks. And Dr. Dave got off the phone and laughed. He said, this is amazing. And then, remember, we only had one heart attack that summer, and we've been having one every month at the 2 Ludwig clinics, on average, right before I started. And that 30-year-old I mentioned earlier, it was the heart attack. It was June, and I just started the Olympic clinic that summer. 5 years later, that was the only heart attack we had. It was 7,000 people, and our hospital admissions plummeted. There's other stuff we did, but we were measuring everything we could get away with measuring. At that time, the cash price for the lab wasn't too bad. It was like $30. Went up to $70. That's still a bargain. But we got all the information we needed. We got an accurate Lp(a). We got an accurate ApoB, and you could kind of tell who was insulin resistant, because if they're pattern B, that meant they have a lot more particles compared to the LDL. And we didn't know that much, but we knew it was working. So here we are 20 years later, and people still argue about niacin, and the statins are only good at lower LDL. They don't really affect the triglycerides. They don't affect the particle number much past 30%. You got to get the particles down at least 60, 70, 80%. And guess what? The one thing you add on that'll get you there is niacin. And most people are afraid to use it because it takes skill. and it takes time. And of course, you've been to your doctor's office. If he only accepts insurance and it's not a cash practice, he has no time to do it.
What would you say about red yeast rice instead of a statin, as opposed to using statin?
About a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, did I have a Dropbox folder? I got like a terabyte of medical literature. I'm going to have to get more storage. And I always remember things are, because I give them a title that's easy to find, and then they sort them into these directories in the Dropbox. Well, I have one for red yeast rice. In China, they call it Zinzikang. The Latin is Monascus purpurus. Purpurus refers to red or ruddy colors. Well, it's made from rice that's fermented, like beer or wine is fermented, and it's a red color. And you know, people forget the very things you love are made with fungus, right? You know, I happen to like mushrooms.
My favorite. I was just going to say that.
My wife makes beef stroganoff or what's the other one? Beef bourguignon.
I say,
double the mushrooms. Big chunky mushrooms.
I have extra mushrooms on everything. Everything. Yeah,
there's a lot of medicinal power in mushrooms. They're discovering that. They're even bringing back psychedelic mushrooms for depression or cancer patients. But turns out when that red yeast rice was exposed overnight and it's red in the morning, it's a species common in China, in the old country. They noticed the big, corpulent, fat guys. their blood was cloudy. And this is how I was told the story goes. This is 1,000 years ago. It's been around forever.
Jeez.
They have cloudy blood. Well, yeah, the triglycerides through the roof. They're diabetic or close to it. And they're fat. Well, when they ate the red yeast rice, their blood was clear, translucent. Light would pass through it. It's a statin. The interesting thing is it's only about 1% of what you see in Lipitor and Crestor. The rest is all the other cool stuff God put in there. I hope religion references don't offend anybody.
And look, I don't care if it does.
Okay, but God gets it right. Pfizer and Merck screw it up.
That's right.
Merck tried to get red yeast rice banned from the United States.
Well, of course they did. Why wouldn't they?
They wanted no competitor. Well, it's not that effective at reducing risk. And everybody thinks, well, just keep raising the dose. All the event reductions in the lowest dose, you get 1% more every time you double the dose. And they always refer to the rule of sixes. Well, the LDL drops 6%, but 40% reduction in LDL is only 30% relative risk reduction, which is about 5% actual, what they call absolute risk reduction. So it's not that great. And if you take the absolute risk reduction and divide one by it, so the decimal for 5% is 0.05, I got to treat 20 people to get rid of one heart attack with a statin.
Wow.
Niacin, the number needed to treat with niacin wasn't 20, it was 3.5. When you added it on to the lowest dose of Zocor, 93% relative risk reduction, 35% absolute risk reduction, and when you divide that into one, you get about 3.5 to 4. That's one of the lowest number needed to treat ever seen. It was only a 3-year trial, and it was funded by the government, so there was no drug company involved. And that was shortly after they evaluated the earlier niacin studies. But Lp(a) goes up a lot on statins. And they always say, it's only 6 to 10%. Don't worry about it. Ask the Mikas. He'll show you actual case studies. These guys just read somebody else's Lp(a) publication, and they copy everything and then change the words around. It's plagiarism, and it's stupidity, because it goes way up. And Zemeckis has seen it go up 200 nanomoles. Well, guess what? That's like 1,400 nanomoles of LDL or ApoB. And they're, myopically transfixed by lowering the LDL, thinking that'll take care of any risk with the Lp(a). That's bullshit, because now they proved when you're on a statin and your Lp(a) went up more than 10 points milligram per deciliter, which is about 24 nanomoles, there's no risk reduction. In fact, you go up 2.3 times, 230% increase in your risk. There's no benefit. Why are you doing it? What does he do? He puts him on niacin and an injectable. but I don't know how much he uses, but I suspect he never uses anything but niaspan, never goes past 2 grams. I get everybody to 3 grams. I don't care if it takes 6 months. It's worth the trouble. And when you see your second set of blood work, no matter what you went through the first week, it's like, holy crap, I didn't even spend 25 cents a day, and everything on my panel looked better. The inflammation comes down. The oxidation comes down. It improves the thyroid status because it cleans up the garbage that interferes with the thyroid supplementation binding to the cells. It does all kinds of crap. It'll make kidney disease go back a whole stage. That's about 15 to 20 points in your GFR. And they published my data on that because I had like 50 people. They all went backwards. Some went from stage 4, which is almost dialysis, all the way back to stage 1. One of them was a 90-year-old. He looked like Dylan. Chopped wood for exercise. He didn't say much. I could tell he was going to be compliant. He had that vibe. And sure enough, he came back and all his lipoproteins looked perfect. He was only doing 1 gram of niacin.
Let me ask you this, because I want to focus just on niacin in a minute. But sure. Let's first talk about what medical options are there. So for me, for instance, I take Vascepa, and that's a PCKS9. And
Are you taking PCSK9 too?
I'm taking that, and I was supposed to take Repatha, but never got it. So what options are there right now, and what is in the pipeline? And then we'll get into niacin after that, but I just want to talk about what actually treats now.
The sad thing about the pipeline is, and that's how the drug industry operates, they want to show one biomarker move.
Right.
And then prove that there's a change in risk, like the heart attack rate went down. Well, guess what? If you all you do is lower the Lp(a), what about the rest of the ApoB?
Right.
What about the small dense particles? And I don't need to get into it. My brother and I are hyperabsorbers. That means our risk is 2.2 times, 220% versus somebody that doesn't have it, and everything else is equal. Well, if you lower the Lp(a), it's a huge benefit, and that's the only way they can prove to the insurance companies they can collect 15 grand a year. They're going to be expensive. Well, I'm like, why not at least give niacin a try? Maybe you can take the lowest dose of the injectable. Niacin will wipe out all, it'll level the whole forest and maybe leave a few stubs and then take the expensive drug once a month instead of twice a month. But back to the point, and I forgot to tell you, red yeast rice lowers Lp(a) 23%.
That's cool.
Wow. Yeah, it is. I'm taking it.
God's pretty clever. That's why the natural products, they usually do 5-6 things, not one thing. And they're cheap. And they're usually safer. And there's a nice warm, fuzzy buzz to natural therapies. When I ask a patient, do you want me to recommend a prescription meds? They usually cut me right off there. Or something natural. I want the natural. Well, it takes a little bit more work. The pill burden, it's quite a few different capsules, but they're ground up roots. They're not some very toxic, concentrated chemical. They extracted from nature and patented so they can make money. So you have to kind of make the commitment that I'm going to take these 5 or 6 capsules. But when they complain, they say, I'm sure you had a hamburger in your life, maybe a Whopper or a Big Mac or whatever. He said, could you see your hand underneath that Whopper? No, it covered. And you're complaining about a few pills, I can still see your hand.
Right.
Whopper's not doing you any favors. The pills can keep you alive for longer and keep you out of the hospital. And you just have to know what you're up against. So get biomarkers, get good ones. And I'll give a list to Dylan that can share with you guys.
Is there anything effective right now? As I was told, that like Vascepa could help reduce it by 25%. Is there anything effective? Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I can't believe anybody would say that. It's like the Mayo Clinic. You're talking to people that should know better, but they don't. And it's epistemology. Their knowledge is here, and it was the identical same amount 10 or 15 years. That's the problem. You got to keep learning. And they call it continuing medical education, but thanks to Richard Nixon, here we are 50 years later, and they've dummied medicine down so bad that one of my friends said he had to sell his practice. He's going to go bankrupt, so now he works for UPMC. It's like an evil empire. It's like the Eye of Sauron and the, the Tolkien trilogy or whatever. They made his life so miserable. He's hoping to get early retirement. I said, so what's it like now? He goes, it's horrible. He said, it's like I enlisted with the military, and all of a sudden now I have to follow orders, and they punish me or withhold my salary. Wow. They're not doctors anymore. They're soldiers, and they have to do this. Yes, sir.
So you don't think there's really anything that's medically effective right now against little A that is, like, can be prescribed?
No, the PCSK9 inhibitors, they like to say 20%, but Zemeckis said, no, it's more like 11%, 12%. But niacin, I always get it down 40, 50, 63% of my wife, and hers is higher than yours, Tony. And I couldn't have been happier. I almost wept. I was so happy because maybe I can hang on to my wife for another 20 years.
Yeah.
She's not easy to live with, but she puts up with me, so yes.
So this, I saw one from Eli Lilly that's claiming that they can lower it by up to 90%.
Well, Zemeckis is pretty sharp. He said, were they treating people with really high LPL? That's the real game.
Right.
And we suspect that they've, as they always do, it's a drug company. There's a lot of greasiness there. Sometimes it's way worse, like Merck. They're probably going to tell you the best news and none of the bad news. Well, I want to see somebody with 500 nanomoles or 200 milligrams per deciliter. I want to see it drop more than 60%, because if they can't do that consistently like niacin does, what's the point? The niacin is going to take care of all the trees, not just one variety. And I think it's an easy way to correct it, but, and we know it'll change outcomes. It'll reduce heart attack and stroke. But I think patients should have an opportunity to try something else. Now, omega-3s work, but not that well.
Right.
Maybe a 5% drop, and it's more the EPA than the DHA. But again, the drug companies try to make DHA sound bad, or like it raises bad cholesterol. It's insane. It doesn't really do that. You have to have triglycerides over 400 to see that. And every other triglyceride drug except niacin, the LDL goes up. But what's happening? It's folding the lighter triglyceride-rich particles, and the cholesterol that was in there is still around. What's getting repackaged into the LDL series. So you haven't changed the number of particles, but the LDL went up. So which is more important? The particles. And EPA is good at stabilizing plaque. It will help reduce negative outcomes, heart attack, stroke. But taking 4 grams EPA with no DHA, DHA is actually more potent on triglycerides. And it's one of the only things we know that will prevent arrhythmias in a patient who had a heart attack. And if you imagine, if I stretch out a flat plate of the muscle on the heart, it's round, but if I flatten it up, if you have an infarct here, the current around it takes longer to get to the other side because it's having to go around an infarct, dead tissue. And then all the other ones got there a little ahead of time, and that causes arrhythmias. DHA stabilizes the action potential, the chemical electrical signal. So you're less likely to go into an arrhythmia, which would be VTAC,
right,
high ventricular rate, and that's life-threatening. And they proved it. It reduces it by, I think it's 90%, sudden cardiac death. It's the DHA that does that, not the EPA. And, of course, the Vascepa manufacturers tried to show that EPA could do it. But what it does, stabilize plaque, so they're less likely to rupture. But
right.
You have to understand where it's best at and when it's really not going very well. And when I put people on niacin, I always get them on fish oil. And you got to read the label. Sometimes they say serving size or daily dose. Well, that's almost never one capsule. So if they say, wow, look how much EPA and DHA are in a daily dose. So I always look, oh, it's 2 or 3 capsules. You got to do the math. Cheap is not bad. I take 9, and I take them frozen because the over-the-counter inexpensive, a little more than 3 cents a capsule, but only 300 milligrams in that capsule is actually omega-3s. And there's always more EPA than DHA. So on that 300, 180 is EPA, and 120 is DHA. So at 9 capsules, I'm getting a gram of DHA. That's what I'm really after, because that's a hard one to get a gram of. The EPA, you're going to get more automatically. Now, if you want to, they make what they call fractionated, where they've concentrated how much is in them. Some are 80, 85% pure. Well, you only need to take two or three of those.
Right.
I'm a bargain hunter. If it's sound medically, it does what it's supposed to. And I'm only spending 27 cents a day on my fish oil. And they're frozen. I take them first thing in the morning. They pop through my stomach before they thaw. And really the problem is if they dissolve in your stomach, it makes gas. It smells like a dead cod on a beach after a storm. It's not a pleasant smell. If it gets past your stomach through the pyloric valve at the bottom, now it's in your upper small intestine. No gas, no stink. And that's why it freezes. And you don't want food interfering, so I do it first thing in the morning while I'm brewing coffee. And there's little tricks to all this. And the trickiest is niacin. But if you listen to somebody who's done it thousands of times, they'll know what works best for you. I start everybody on a tiny, tiny amount.
Well, I got one more question for you before we go to the niacin, because that's going to be a longer discussion. So the only approved treatment for Lp(a) is lipoprotein apheresis. Do you know anything about that? Or
technically, niacin's approved, too, and they've tried to bash it into the corner because the last time it was published in 2009, the European Atherosclerosis Society said, only drug known to work if you have Lp(a), measure your relatives, but 3 grams or
but
more.
What about that procedure? Is that something that you think works? Because I know it's very hard to get.
Because in the United States, there's a lot of barriers to getting it.
Right.
And also, how often they'll allow you to do it. Now, it grabs all the bad particles. But the problem is if everything came down 80% the day before the next treatment, it bounced right back up to where it was a baseline.
That's what
so
I thought.
The low and the high and average, and as Zemeckis pointed out, it's no better than niacin. It's about a 20% reduction. Now, the Russians, they've actually done something useful for mankind. They came up with a filter that won't remove any of the ApoB except Lp(a). And it was 80, 90% reduction in what they call MACE, combined cardiac endpoints. That's as good as it gets. And it's unique because the filter has I think it's an immunoabsorbent that only recognizes that tail on the Lp(a) and only grabs those. Yeah. And that was proof of principle because when that came down, you could say, well, apheresis lowers all the bad guys. How do you know it was the Lp(a)? Well, sometimes they have completely normal LDL and ApoB levels, but their Lp(a) is through the roof because you don't need to have that much to be in danger, right?
Right.
Well, 2,000 is a high number for nanomoles for particles, for ApoB, you know, LDL. And you want to get it less than 900, ideally around 500. Well, geez, 200 Lp(a) trumps all of that because multiply 200 by 7, it's 1,400 particles of regular ApoB. So lowering the ApoB by 500 points, particles, is not offset by the Lp(a) going up. Let me do the math there. 90. You know, I mean, you've got to take 7 times the number. So you lower the LDL, the ApoB, by 500. Divide that by 7. If the Lp(a) went up that much, you just screwed the pooch. There was no event reduction.
Right.
In fact, all these people on a statin, their LDL look great for the most part. But the Lp(a) went up, and it didn't mean anything. Now the LDL, the ApoB going down meant nothing because the Lp(a) went up. It's important to understand that. Ready Strice works pretty good. I put my wife and some of my patients on it because I like to evaluate things to make sure I'm making the best decision for the patient. And I don't want to put anybody at risk. But Ready Strice is at least as tolerable as statins. And it's got a lot of stuff in it that are kind of mysterious. You know, there's like phytosterols and anti-inflammatory compounds. I mean, it came out from mold that forms in the rice. It's a natural product. And when I saw 23% reduction in Lp(a), that's my first choice for an add-on.
Right.
You know, and even if it doesn't lower it, it didn't increase it. And you get the protection of a statin, because a lot of it is not the cholesterol. It's inflammation, what they call pleiotropic effects. Now, there's a target effect, and then there's secondary and tertiary effects. Niacin's more about the secondary and tertiary because it moves all the particles, but it does some amazing stuff. It repairs damaged insulation around your nerve endings. It shrinks brain cancer tumors. These are big trials. They're not some, you know, questionable study. And now they're realizing in neurology, everybody with a neurological disorder should be on niacin. It slows down or prevents dementia and Alzheimer's, for crying out loud. It's God's shotgun. I joke that I could go into a darkened room with a blindfold on. All I got to do is pull the trigger a couple times. I'm going to knock out some bad guys. Easy. And I still read up on it because they research it probably more than any single search word in PubMed, the medical search engine, or Google. So every week I check to see who's researching niacin. There's some amazing stuff. It's even good after a stroke because it restores what they call plasticity of the brain, and the neuron damage repairs much more quickly when you're on niacin. No cardiologist knows that. They'd be using it. But you know what? They're not going to use it if they're lazy. You're going to have to train somebody in your staff that takes 30, maybe 60 minutes with every patient, and you can't bill for that. So they don't do it.
Well, let's talk about the whole niacin aspect, then. I want to kind of finish with that because I know it's going to be a little bit of a breakdown here. So tell me why niacin was the most effective, and let's kind of talk about the protocol, and then kind of talk about the certain form of niacin you want, how you want to ease into it, and kind of just some. And then I'd like to talk about what goes well with it for LP little a.
Okay. Well, there's not a lot of choices for LP little a. There is for APOB, but niacin suppresses the gene. So all these injectables, the new drugs that are coming out, they suppress the manufacturer, and that's a gene that's driving it. You're born with a gene, and therefore it's elevated. So you've got to defeat the gene, suppress the expression of the gene. Well, niacin already does it. They call it all caps, LPA. That's how they identify the gene in the short version. They usually have really long letters and numbers identifying the gene. Niacin is maybe the only thing that's already out there that does that, suppress it. Plus, it takes away quite a bit of the fundamental components like APOB, and it increases the receptor density, so it pulls them out and dumps them in the liver through your bile when you go to the bathroom. And it suppresses the anti-plasminogen effect because niacin keeps platelets from making clots. It doesn't kill them like an aspirin, but it suppresses it. Now, there are other things to add on, but you start off with the niacin. I usually try to see how much mileage I can get. Once somebody's at a half a gram per meal, you know, 1.5 grams per day, always take it 2 or 3, 4 doses only with food. Then I see where they're at in about 90 days. Now, the guy that taught me 20 years ago, he said, sometimes it doesn't drop right away. He said, in fact, it doesn't look like the niacin worked. And he said, but when they come back in like 2 years later, suddenly it dropped 40 or 50%. A lot of mystery there. But once you're on niacin, you've already lowered your risk. Because it's anti-inflammatory, it dilates the arteries so they flow better. They use it for wound healing. It's cut the amputation rate in half. Podiatrists know this. They've been using it for 60, 70 years because the circulation improves so much in the little vessels that foot ulcer diabetics get, instead of it getting worse, starts to close up. Because there's so much circulation, you're removing the crap, you know, the toxins and the CO2, and you're bringing in oxygen and nutrients at a much higher rate. It's all about circulation. And it doesn't do it quite as much on the big vessels like the aorta right out of the heart. That's the big one, the arch. But it makes them more rubbery. So when the heart pumps, instead of a stiff artery that sends a shockwave down the arterial tube, it bends. And then it goes back to its normal diameter. That takes 3 or 4 years, but it starts working the day you start taking it. And in their first trial, they called it the Coronary Drug Project. They noticed everybody that had been on niacin for the trial, 5.5 years, their blood pressures were 6 points lower. Well, that's not amazing. I can get a drug approved if I do that.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a B vitamin, for crying out loud. Back then, it was probably a penny a gram.
What about the form of night? Because remember we were talking about the flush and the different forms, and one was from an off-the-call. Why do you need a certain name? What form is it that you need so that people pick the right one?
There's real niacin, and then there's fake niacin. And don't get into the NMN and MNM and NAD riboside. Guess what? You take niacin, it hits the liver. It does most of the work, the cardiovascular. The other end of the liver comes NAD and NMN and all the metabolites that people are paying $30 to $100 a month. And real niacin, just be a grown-up. And get past the first week because it's the cheapest way to get NAD. And if you're dosing it properly, you're getting a spike 2, 3, 4 times a day. That's way better than one expensive NAD pill. And NAD will do nothing for Lp(a) or any of the cholesterol profiles. And if you got kidney disease, it'll help slow it down. And I've seen people go backwards a whole stage just with a quarter of a gram. And it improves a lot of the other renal parameters. So it's a Swiss Army knife of natural medications. You know, it's like having 100 tools in that little knife, and I'm constantly finding something new to use it for. People that take it for the first time will call me and say, is it normal to not have brain fog? I feel sharper. You know, I exercise longer and I keep going, you know, and I don't get out of breath so easy and they're still overweight. I'm like, it's your circulation. You're getting more oxygen to the brain, you're getting your nutrients distributed more efficiently, and yeah, your exercise tolerance will go up because your circulation improved.
So how do you know if you're getting the one that is flush or non-flush?
Yeah, by the right type. I don't recommend anything but Rugby for maintenance dose, but first you have to titrate, and KAL, which is also available on Amazon, makes a 25 and a 50. I've hardly anybody that needed a 25, but I remember this nurse in Florida, and was down there working with one of my friends on the East Coast, and she sent a patient in to talk to me, and she couldn't take the 50. That was rare. My wife was the most difficult niacin patient, but I solved the problem by getting her 50, so that's pretty much what I always do. But there is a 25. It's strawberry flavored, and you hold it under your tongue, and it melts. Well, the 50, you take one with each meal. If you didn't have a significant problem the first couple of days, then you double the dinner meal, leave the lunch and the breakfast dose at 50. You did okay for a couple of days, you double up. It's intuitive. You know, listen to your body. If you have a bad hot flash, don't even think about quitting. Make sure you got an Alka-Seltzer in your wallet or purse. And it's a commitment. You can't just leave the house without it if you have a meal at the golf course with your friends or you went out to dinner. In your wallet, in your purse, they make these little Ziplocs. I don't have a handy dollar bill, but this will do. They're about this big. It's like a dollar bill folded. It's perfect. It fits right in my wallet. I could put, I take 4.5 grams, so it's 9 tablets. But most people aren't going to take that much, or certainly not more. And right next to it's an Alka-Seltzer. But over the years, I've got so I like the hot flash, and I don't do anything. I just wait for it to go away. The hot flash is half the benefit, because when that stimulated, it dilates your arteries, you get all this blood flow. That's a good thing. It's annoying, so if it gets bad enough, the Alka-Seltzer will make it go away. But after a couple of weeks, you don't need to suppress the hot flash, the flush.
Because so it'll say, like, niacin as inositol, and that's what you don't want, right?
No, it's no flush. If it says no flush, there's no benefit. There's actually a study by the cardiologist that made that mistake, but he was big enough to admit it. And what happened was the patient switched out when he got to the drugstore because he didn't like the real niacin. Now, make sure they get that tip sheet and the slide deck. If they still want to talk to me, you know, ask Dylan and we'll put you in touch. But it shows you step by step what to do. And it's in Spanish and English. They have a lot of colored pictures. And it's third grade reading level, and I've never seen a problem with it. And, you know, if they're illiterate, the pictures tell them what to do. There's a picture of the little dose. There's a picture of the middle dose. Most people jump from the 50 to the 500 easily, about half. Some of them, they need to go slower, or they use intermediate sizes. There's 100 milligram and a 250. and have some people that can't handle the 500s, but they get a stock bottle of the 250s and they bump that up. It's the increments are a little too aggressive. You move 500.
That's what I've been doing is like the 250 and a 50. I think I'm ready to go to a 500 myself. Solar Ray makes a 500, so that's probably what I'll get, because Cal doesn't have a 500. It's only flush free, but I've been using Cal.
Rugby makes a 100, and the scored so you can bust them in half. So if it's an elderly person that doesn't know what Amazon is and they've got a candy bar phone, maybe, that'd be my 92-year-old mom. I tell them, call Walmart, read them the NDC number. It's in the tip sheet. I have a list for Walmart. This is for people over 70, or way up there. And the other list is Amazon. And you can get all the dose forms. Rugby doesn't make a 50 or 25, but Cal does. And it's on Amazon. He's the king. And you'll know within a couple of days how short your trigger is for the hot flush. And yeah, it'll kind of annoy you. But I tell them, I say, do all the people that you love and your friends behave all the time and you've never been upset with them, right? We know the answer to that. But they're still your friends, you still love them. Well, embrace niacin. Embrace the hot flash. It's going to save your life. And if you have an Alka-Seltzer on the road outside of the house, in your wallet, in your purse, or at home have an Alka-Seltzer and applesauce. We did that in 2004 when we had my first two lipid clinics. Everybody got a sheet. It was called the Alka-Sauce Protocol. I learned the hard way that if they give it a funny name, they won't throw it out on the way to the parking lot. I mean, forget about it. They go, why'd you call it that? Well, it's Alka-Seltzer and applesauce. And the kidney protocol includes calcium carbonate and sodium bicarbonate. Well, nobody's scientists usually. Well, calcium carbonate's Tums. And sodium bicarbonate, the prescription or the pharmaceutical grade in a pill, is really no different than the baking soda in the yellow box in the back of the refrigerator, arm and hammer. Right. So they call it the Tums and Hammer protocol. And they always grin when they look at it. I just manipulated them, not in a bad way. They're reading the damn tip sheet. That's the whole point.
So why is it important to have food with it and to not take it fasted?
Take it fasting, the drop in blood pressure when you vasodilate and have a hot flash will cause the heart rate to speed up. But if you already have heart disease, that's not a good idea. Catecholamines go up. Bad. When you're fasting and you take niacin, there's one source of fuel that's still around. It leaks out of your fat cells and your liver. It's called free fatty acids. Well, that's the only fuel available till you eat again. And niacin drops it to the floor. And then when niacin is gone from the bloodstream, they rebound way up. It causes all kinds of problems with glucose management. If you take it with a meal, what happens when you eat food? That's where most of your cholesterol disturbances start. Triglycerides go up, free fatty acids. The production of the particles that include all the compounds start to go into high gear because you ate food. You need the nutrition, but you don't need those lipoproteins being exacerbated. Well,
right.
You know, like I said, the free fatty acids do this when you take it fasting. They do this. And the trigs won't go up, and neither will the free fatty acids right after the meal. They call it postprandial lipemia or lipids after a meal. Well, that's why you take it with food, because it works better and you're addressing the problem when it occurs. Plus, it's easier to tolerate. Divided doses instead of one big dose all at once at bedtime, that's a great way to get them to quit. Keep them falling asleep on time, and they're going to be pissed at you and the niacin, and it's not easy to get them back on it.
Right.
But if you have all the tools, you read the tip sheet, get the right formulation, buy the 50s, get a stock bottle of the 500s, but let's see how you do in between, because there are other stair steps. You can take 100, a 250. So the idea is I have to be flexible, so most the largest number of people can benefit. My hit rate's about 95%. There's always somebody that can't do it. And that makes my job difficult.
What dose is really where the magic happens, where you really start to really see the most benefit on the LP little A?
Well, here we go with the religious thing again. Why are there receptors all over the liver? There's two or three species, but when they realize they don't do anything unless you take a half a gram of niacin, they're called nicotinic acid, which is what niacin is, nicotinic acid receptors. They sit there your whole life if you don't take a therapeutic dose of niacin. You can't eat enough steak and food to get more than 100 milligrams if you're lucky.
Right.
You have to eat half a cow. But, you know, it's in tablet form. I'm thinking, well, when I was a hunter-gatherer, I was in Israel and I lived next door to Jesus. You couldn't get niacin. But we didn't live past 30 and we didn't have industrialized lifestyles. You know, modern man eating garbage and God knows all the toxins around us that nobody regulates. So in his infinite wisdom, it's like the day of the earth, or of the War of the Worlds, he put bugs on Earth so when the Martians came here, they're anemic. And they eventually died after they almost destroyed Earth. God in his infinite wisdom. Well, he put those receptors there for a reason. Because he knew we'd probably develop niacin, and it is a tremendously beneficial medication. A half a gram just gets them going. And the interesting thing is it's like punching somebody, and they don't really respond real well until they wake up and stand up, get up off the floor. Well, that's right. You smack the receptor, and there's like a shockwave in the liver. Good. And then when the niacin's gone, immediate release is gone immediately, within an hour, half an hour. Then the receptors go crazy. That's when there's no niacin, but you have to stimulate them first. Well, I really shoot for 500 milligrams, that's a half a gram, three times a day. When you get to that point, run some new blood work. If it's LP little A, I try to get you a little higher because LP little A takes a larger sledgehammer. But most everything else, if I get you to 1,500 milligrams, most people, when they see the next lab report, go, wow. And I remind him, you know, you're taking 10 cents worth. And then I have to shut up, which ain't easy. And they go, wow. It's like when you see value, then I remind them, oh, you're only taking 10 cents worth. I say that for a reason. Is it okay to take more? Should I? Can I? And I'm like, I think you know the answer to all three. I said, but, you know, it's another nickel a day. I don't know if you can afford that. Mm-hmm. And they look at me and I laugh. Off they go. They never complain again. Because now it was proven to them that it was worth the trouble. And they're not having trouble after a month. And they go out, and next thing you know, I'm taking 4 grams. I'm taking 6 grams. FDA has plain niacin, immediate release, only immediate release, approved up to 6 grams. And they actually used a hell of a lot in the old days because they didn't have all these other drugs. So they would just keep titrating until all the numbers looked big. And that's kind of what I do. Get them to a gram and a half and level off. If they're gung-ho, go ahead, keep increasing it. But go get some blood work because it's a hell of an incentive to see almost everything in the panel looks better. And I didn't even know until about 5, maybe 10 years ago, the kidneys were good. It's one of the only drugs that will correct every stage of liver disease, including fibrosis, which is cirrhosis, end-stage liver disease. And most doctors go, oh, no, it's unsafe for the liver. Yeah, well, they tried to cheat Mother Nature. They came out with sustained release, and it's still leaking niacin into your liver at 16 hours, 20 hours, 24 hours. Anything that's around that long is going to be toxic, and it doesn't work as well. And you might not get the hot flash, but you feel like you have the flu. Not a good idea. Stick with the plain stuff. Be an adult. Follow the instructions. Have an Alka-Seltzer. You'll do fine. And I enjoy my job. It's like I'm trying to help them help themselves. It's like Jerry Maguire. Help me help you.
You, yeah. So what do you... So for instance, what I'm doing is I'm taking niacin, I'm taking red yeast rice, I'm taking natokinase.
Good.
Yeah, I do about...
Glucurokinase is pretty interesting, too. I found an expert on that, a nurse practitioner. She uses glucurokinase for people that have chronic UTIs or inflammatory bladder. But, you know, since the tail brings in clots, thrombosis, because... your body's ability to dissolve them has now been neutralized. Nanokinase, lubricinase, any kind of blood thinner like that will help. And that's an added benefit of niacin and fish oil. They suppress the platelets, it's a primary clotting factor, from overreacting. They're still there when you need them, but they're not going to form clots. And both niacin and fish oil kind of keep the blood thin, so it's a good idea to have them on board.
What form of fish oil did you recommend again for everybody is aware?
Whatever you can afford. But, yeah, 3.5 cents the capsule at Walmart, and shop expiration date. You want one that's expiring further away. It's fresh.
Just basic fish oil, then.
And they do make purified forms. If you can afford them, it's a little easier because three of those is like the nine I take because they're 85% pure, which is pretty cool. And there's one company in particular that stands out because they make two products. They make the 840 because it's 84% pure, so every capsule is 840 milligrams. It's orthomolecular, and the line of omegas are orthomega. There's a second product to get the DHA up. Because the first product, 840, is roughly half and half EPA and DHA. But they came out one called DHA Select. One capsule has 650 milligrams of DHA. That's really cool. Because when it was a little easier to order, we used to order omega-3 indexes, which is the gold standard for how much fish oil you're taking. And you can't cheat it. I could swallow 20 capsules before I get my blood drawn and won't move. But if I take a certain amount every day at 13 weeks and hit saturation, and I'm looking for, you know, red, yellow, green. You want to get 8% of the lining of the cell, the cell membrane. You want to expunge the trans fats and the saturated fats. You want the omegas to move in. It's primarily DHA that stays put. EPA moves around, but the combined score should be 8%, plus the old health diagnostic, True Health, they gave you essential fatty acid breakdown, including the bad ones, like arachidonic acid, omega-6, and they gave you dietary recommendations. The fish that carried the most, like salmon and mackerel, and I think sardines. I actually learned to like sardines. I used to hate them when I was a kid, but boy, there's a lot of omegas in there. And so, you know, you're watching TV, eat sardines, not a bag of chips.
So on the omega-3, so I found with one, and it said the EPA is 360 milligrams and the DHA is 240. Does that sound pretty good to you? It's a
ratio. It's 2 to 3, 3 parts EPA, 2 parts DHA. Now, I would have you look closer to see if they're referring to one capsule or two.
Two.
Okay. It's the same as any inexpensive Walmart. My wife loves to shop for my fish oil because they usually wrap two together and discount it. And you're getting two $25 jugs that are huge for $20, but only today, right? So she waits until she sees one of those and they come home, and I just shove them in the freezer. And that's a... Well, my commitment, every morning I do nine of them.
Well, what amount do you think would be the more expensive one that would be good to find?
I like the orthomolecular because 840, if you do three of those, you're getting almost 2.5 grams of omegas. Now, half of that is not DHA, but it's close. It'd be about, you know, 1.25 grams to maybe a little bit more of that in EPA, but when they fractionate it, they're removing the inactive ingredients, which are mostly triglycerides. That's what you find in the fish naturally. But you got to be careful because if you carry APOE4 allele, it's a genetic test, a one-time test. That means you're prone for dementia, Alzheimer's, and a whole bunch of nasty stuff. And the blood-brain barrier is not functioning normally. So regular fish oil won't move across like it would in a healthy person. Well, they come out with a phospholipid fish oil, instead of it not having a charge like most oils, it carries a phospholipid side chain that goes right into the brain. That is cool. And it's not really significantly more expensive. And krill oil does it naturally. Plus, it's got astaxanthin. It's a little bit of omega. It's not a lot. And phospholipids, and they're covalently bound, which means they don't separate when they get into your body. Because it's a charge, it goes right into the cell wall of every cell in your body that goes into your brain. But if you're up to the omegas, it's a little more sensible to use regular omegas. I have people that take both. If you got lupus or an autoimmune disorder, krill oil is pretty effective.
So the Ortho Omega I see has the EPA 430 and the DHA 390 in one capsule.
Yeah, that's the 840. I think if you do the math, it's 800 something.
And 820.
I looked at it in a while, but that's 82% omegas.
That's the good.
Two or three of those, and you're good to go. Now, it costs more, but I deal with a lot of people in the Rust Belt that used to have good blue collar jobs.
Now,
they don't have insurance. They're eking out an existence. I see them at McDonald's, they're 75 years old. You know, Wall Street destroyed their pensions. Then GE laid off everybody. They barely make choo-choo trains anymore. Osiris Siri, all the steam shovels went to Korea. So I empathize with them. I say, well, if I can beat the Reaper, you know, cardiac death, Alzheimer's, on the cheap, why not? It might not be the highest quality, but the active ingredients there, and it's a nickel a day versus 50 cents, that's something the guy might be able to afford. Niacin's the king of therapies for being a bargain. It's 5 cents a gram. It's not even 5 cents a gram. The price went up and it's still less than $25 for 1,500 grams.
So really what we're looking at is obviously niacin, good fish oil, possibly red yeast rice, and maybe a mannokinase to kind of get around everything. And that would be a good stack for somebody trying to work on LP little a cholesterol. Problem
depending about comorbidities, not just cholesterol particles or LP little a. It's important to get some good biomarkers. Kidney disease, you want cystatin C, CYSTATIN-C. That is the gold standard for a blood marker. Now, you can't everything that's going on.
All right, everybody. Sorry about that. We had a small technical difficulty, but we're back, and we were kind of finishing up here, but I was touching on a stack I had proposed to Dr. Steven, if it was a good stack. So I just want your thoughts on this, doctor. Do you feel that a good stack to treat LP little a would be obviously niacin at the top, and then we were looking at fish oil, red yeast rice, and possibly nattokinase. Do you feel that would be a strong starting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't often recommend the blood thinner, which is what nattokinase is. But that's a good idea because I know a number of people that are taking it. And it definitely provides additional benefit. Okay, here we go. But, you know, niacin, fish oil, red yeast rice. Those have the best data, and I've actually seen it in real people perform. I'm still a little new to the red yeast rice, but that's the only statin I would even fool around with LP little a, because it doesn't increase it. And there was more than one study that showed it would drop it 20-23%. That's very desirable.
Absolutely.
And I'm hoping some of these people, you know, it's always going to be a little elevated. It's nearly impossible to get it all the way down, but I try. And I think that the red yeast rice is a breakthrough because it's going to do a lot more than the fish oil does the LP little a. It'll assist the niacin. Plus, there's a lot of pleiotropic effects. That just means secondary, tertiary effects beyond just lowering cholesterol or LP little a. And I like that because it helps keep the artery lining healthy, and it complements the niacin. So those are the big three, niacin, fish oil, and red yeast rice.
Excellent. So certainly there are ways for people watching. It's not, though, it's just the end of the world be all. If you have a high LP little a, there are ways to treat it, but it is something that you need to be aware of more than any other marker, as we've discussed this entire video. So the key points in this video are: do your own research, be very aware, and don't be afraid to go ask for what you need. And if you don't get what you need, you go do it yourself at your own lab.
Right. It's
readily available to do it yourself.
Yeah. DIY, do it yourself. Cause guess what? The system is wired against you. It's not in your favor. Most doctors never order it. Less than 1% of the people in the U.S. ever had it ordered. Of course, greed and vice is going to dictate when these new drugs come out. Everybody's going to jump on it. But guess what? That doesn't mean, oh, well, I don't need to take niacin. We don't know how effective they are. And they only lower Lp(a). I'd rather fire a shotgun and make everything drop. That, right. To me, that's intuitively smarter. And it's so cheap and readily available, and the doctor doesn't need to play ball. And that's important. You're going to get pushback when you ask for something the doctor doesn't normally do. New biomarkers. Niacin, you know, they buy into all this hysteria, the smear campaign. The really smart, older, esteemed experts from 30, 40, 50 years ago, they all take niacin. They still put everybody on it. They just don't talk it up around other doctors because the other guys will snicker at them. Well, you know what? The other guys, I don't have a clue. It's like Jesus said, forgive them for they don't know what they do. That's the best thing you can do. But look the other way and try to find an integrative or functional doctor. That doesn't guarantee that they'll have a skill set with niacin because it takes a lot of time and effort to learn how. And most of the ones that want to use niacin, they send them to me. I do the dirty job for them, but I kind of enjoy it because I like challenges. And if I can get everybody on niacin, that's a good thing.
Right.
And it takes a little effort, but get the biomarkers, number one. And depending on what's on there, you know, because you don't just want to order Lp(a), start the niacin. And 90 days later, 3 months, most insurance companies will let you repeat the blood work, but you're buying it with cash because you can't convince a doctor to do it. You know, just be a grown-up and commit yourself to the fact that that's a very small expenditure to remove the risk.
Exactly.
And niacin's just amazing because
just remember that nobody's going to do this for you. You have to be diligent yourself. And if they tell you no, then you take it into your own hands and go do your own damn blood work. There's no price on your health, especially when it's like $100 or $200 to get a full comprehensive panel. Get everything done. Just get it all done.
Right.
There's no price tag on your health, period, end of story. There's no other debate or discussion needed on that aspect, period.
Yeah, so. I like to make it in a sound bite. What's your car payment these days? You know, a new car, even a used car. Is $242 very much? No. You can spend that on a car, but if you're dead, you won't be driving that car.
I was going to say, you won't be having a car payment. You won't be having shit. So
yeah, and if you have loved ones that depend on you to be alive, think about that.
Exactly. Well, this has been very, very enlightening, very helpful, and it's certainly eye-opening, and hopefully people take this to heart and listen to this. So, Dr. Steven, I just want to really, really, really thank you for taking the time because this is priceless information that really isn't out there enough. So I think I speak for my entire audience and just really appreciate everything that you shared with us today.
No worries. Sorry about the low tech.
You're fine.
Podium steering wheel.
it's all about the information. I don't care about the tech. So once again, everybody, Dr. Steven McConnell, he's an absolute expert, as you can tell, lipidologist, cholesterol, the heart. Thank you again, doctor. It was an absolute pleasure, and I know I'll be talking to you soon.
You bet. No worries. God bless you all. If you need to get a hold of me, Dylan can facilitate that.
Absolutely. So, all right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. Stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli and Dr. Steven McConnell signing off.